Okay, this morning let's come to God's Word and let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're looking at things that happened in the last year of Jesus' ministry. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 1 to 14. 1 to, well, we go the whole hog, 1 to 16. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Okay, and it says that after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Okay, this is Jesus during his time of ministry. Remember, how many disciples did he appoint first? 12. And here in Luke, it tells us he appointed another 72 others apart from those 12. And he sent them out 2 by 2. And the key thing is that he sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was going about to go. Okay, so he did that. Then he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Keep going. "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Shalom,' peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you." Turn to somebody and say, "Heal the sick." And proclaim the kingdom. Okay, next one. Go on. "But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is living and powerful and eternal. Lord, we thank you that we have the written scripture here before us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and open our hearts and our minds. Lord, may your anointing be upon me as I speak your word, that your truth would be life imparting and life changing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So here we see Jesus' instructions to the disciples. And he, at this stage in time, way back in verse 1, he appoints 72 others, all right? And then he tells them this. Remember, they are the workers, but he says the first thing that he talks about is prayer. Okay, first point is prayer, where he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers or workers into the harvest." Okay? So, when Jesus looks at the world, the millions in India, he's saying the harvest is plentiful. Now, we've got to see with what eyes we're looking at people. We can say, "Oh, the ground is hard. People are not interested in the gospel. There's persecution. There's opposition. There's false allegations." But Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. All right? So we've got to see things how Jesus sees them. And then he says, this is what I need you to do. Okay? So whenever Jesus says, do something, what do we need to do? We need to do it. This is important. He's saying, do something, do it. Okay? And he says, he's saying the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So the first thing we need to do is really we need to say, we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Say, Lord, raise up more workers. Raise up more workers. Now you see, does God really need us? Think about it. Does he need us to save the lost? You got to be convinced of that. He does not need us. Okay, Balaam. Who spoke to Balaam? A donkey. God can use a donkey, can he not, to speak to? He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. You may be an M-Tech, PhD, whatever qualifications you have, however smart you are, God can use a donkey. Okay? He can use anything he wants. But the amazing thing about this all-powerful God who spoke the millions of galaxies into being just by his word, he chooses to include us in his great work. Wow. Isn't that a great privilege? Yeah. He chooses to get us to join him. That's good. And you know why he does that? It's like this. He wants to reward us. Okay? We have an inheritance in heaven which you've got to work for. He says there are good works prepared for us to do. Revelation 21 says, I am coming soon and my reward is with me to give to each person according to what he has done. Salvation is free. It depends totally on what Jesus did for us. But your rewards in heaven depend on what you do. Okay, and so here God is saying, I am restricting myself, and unless you pray for the workers won't emerge. So you pray to the Lord of the harvest. Okay, think about it. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, send out workers? You know, so we're going to do that right now, because I know at the end of the meeting you may forget about this. Okay, so will you take 30 seconds and let's lift our voices. Cry out and say, Lord, send out workers into the harvest. Let's lift our voices. Come. Lord, would you send out workers into your harvest field, Lord? Would you send out workers? Lord, raise up workers. That word of grace and everywhere else, Lord. Every place in India, every place in the world, every village, every city, every town, every building, every locality, Lord. Send out workers into the harvest field. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Okay? You know? And one of the things that happens when we pray for workers is we become an answer to the prayer. How many like answers to prayer? How many would like to be an answer to prayer? That's it. Okay? So turn to the person next to you and pray, Lord, send them out as workers. Yes, Lord. Yes. All right. Great. Now, when we think of workers, we think, oh, I've got to quit my job and serve the church. How many think that? All right. Listen, it's true. That's one kind of worker, yeah, where you leave your so-called job, but as a computer person or a business person, you say, okay, I'm going to serve Jesus full time. But the majority of Christians are not called to that kind of workers. Okay, you are a full-time worker in your place of work or in the place where you stay. Because only you can touch those people who live there and who work there. Okay, so when we're talking about workers, all we're saying is, you're saying, Lord, use me to invite my friends for next Sunday. Use me to share with my colleagues at work how you have answered prayer and healed me and so forth. Okay, let's go on. Let's see the next thing that Jesus did. Okay, the next thing is the mission. He says, pray for workers. We've done that. The next thing he says, go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go, but not right now. All right? So he says, go. Now, you can't be a worker sitting at home. You've got to go. Okay, you've got to go to somebody, go somewhere, go meet somebody. And he's saying, you know, this is the mission. Okay, he says, he's saying, go. And he then gives them lots of instructions. And basically, now those instructions are specifically for these 72. Okay? So it's not necessarily, you know, don't carry your wallet, your backpack, don't wear sandals. You know, that's not for us right now. Okay? But really what he's saying is, this is what the mission is, we need to go to the lost. Okay, look at verse 5. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Okay, so our mission is this, that we have to go to the lost. Okay, we've got to engage them. And we've got to, and the aim of going, remember, you've got to keep the aim. The aim of going is that we can proclaim this kingdom. And this is what we've got to proclaim. He says, peace be to this house. What does that mean? I want to tell you something. What you have with you is so powerful, the message of the gospel. Okay? Because with you is this gospel that will lead to peace or to punishment. Think about that. You know, you can go to your neighbor or to your colleague at work, and with you is peace or punishment. You're taking the gospel message. If they accept it, they will have eternal peace. If they reject it, they will have eternal punishment. Are you carrying something important? Wow. Now you've got to realize the value of that. Somebody's eternal destiny is locked up in your proclaiming the gospel. You know? There's a story of Hudson Taylor, who was traveling from one place in China to the other. He was a missionary to China. And he was in the boat. They call the Chinese boats junks. Junks. And he was traveling in this boat. And he had shared the gospel with a guy called Peter on the boat. And Peter heard everything, but he didn't accept the Lord. And he was under deep conviction, though. And Peter went to sleep. And as he went to sleep, the seas were a bit choppy and Peter fell overboard. Oh no. And Hudson Taylor was so concerned about Peter. He says, hey guys, somebody has fallen overboard. Stop the boat. Save him. But nobody seemed to be interested. Finally, he jumped in himself, but he couldn't find him. And then there was another boat coming by, the fishing boat. And he talked to those. He said, listen, somebody's fallen there. Can you please help? The guys were not interested. Then he says, I'll give you money. And he gave him all the money that he had. And then the guys put the nets down. And in a minute, they picked up Peter. But Peter was dead by then. This is a true story. All right? And think about it. How many people like Peter are perishing every day? And we have the message of peace. We've got to get it out. We've got to get it out. You know, I want us to feel the great weight of what we are carrying. Yeah, we have it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 to 11. Paul, the great apostle, says this. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. Okay? That means the way I'm living my life is I want to please Jesus. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So Paul is saying, listen, there's got to be a judgment, you know, not of heaven and hell for believers. We are going to heaven. That's okay. But of rewards. And he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Okay? So what are we saying? We're saying, Lord, you've saved me. I'm going to heaven. I have peace. But Lord, help me to go to my neighbor, to love them with the love of Christ, you know, and to share this message of the gospel so that peace may come to that home. Today, Austin reminded us as we prayed, he said, who shared the gospel with you? Think about it. If that person had not prayed for you or shared the gospel with you, you may not have been here today. Yeah? But somebody prayed for you and shared the gospel. You know, the least we can do is be involved in sharing the gospel with others. Okay, so we've got a mission before us. And really what back to Luke 10, and really what he's saying about, you know, don't greet anybody and don't eat whatever said. He said, listen, the other things of life are not to be our priorities. The priority is engaging people for the gospel. What we can do is, you know, we can get so caught up with television programs, outdoor activities, games, fun, work, studies. He's saying that's good, but this is the priority, the gospel, taking the gospel out. And the third thing is we've seen the message. All right, we looked at the mission, we look at the message, and the message he says the kingdom of God is here. And we have to tell people about this great King Jesus who has come onto this earth. And he says the way you validate that message is supernaturally. You heal the sick, you cast out demons. Okay? And what we need to do is we need to step out in faith here. Okay? Where when we see our friends, our neighbors struggling, suffering under anything, we say, can I pray for you? And boldly pray for them in the name of Jesus. So they see the power that is there in the name of Jesus. Okay? And when we step out in faith, God will come in. You know, I've already told you the story some time ago about this friend of mine who I've been praying for very regularly. Say, how will I get an opportunity to talk to him about Jesus? You know, but I was just praying for him. And then one day at work, he gives me a call. He says, Colin, where are you? I want to meet you. And I said, well, I'm here. And he said, can you please come over to my house? I said, when? He said, right now. I said, right now. I said, that's important. So I dropped everything, went to meet him. And he shared the problem, which was a serious problem. And I said, look, you know, I have no solution, but physically speaking, what to do, but we can pray. And with this guy, who's not a believer, not a Christian, I think, I prayed in the name of Jesus. Wow. Nothing happened. I went home, and a couple of hours later, I got a call from him that the problem had been solved. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. Okay. So, that's all it is. You know, people have problems. We are coming to them with the peace of God in the name of Jesus. Okay. What is the message? We validate our message with power. Praying for healing. Praying for signs and wonders, praying for demons to be cast out. We proclaim the gospel. But then, this is what Jesus says. He says, but verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, do not receive. Now, there is the other side of things. When we go and proclaim the gospel, Jesus said, you're going as sheep among wolves. Can you tell me what will happen to a sheep that goes among wolves? Yeah, dinner, lamb chops, okay? And so Jesus is cautioning us. He's saying, listen, it's not going to be all rosy and nice, but there will be challenges, okay? There will be challenges. And he says, but remember this, you're going in my name and my authority. You go. Your job is to proclaim. That's it. Accepting or rejecting the gospel is up to the person concerned, right? And what we got to do is, he says, if they reject you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. That's what we've got to do. And this is what he says here. He says, look here. He says, even verse 11, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Anybody know the story of Sodom? Okay, it's in Genesis 19. It was a wicked, evil city. It was horrific. Okay, read the details in Acts. It's Genesis 19. It was so wicked that God called down fire and destroyed the city. And yet, Jesus is saying that, you know what? That city that was so wicked and perverted and evil will receive more mercy than the cities in Jerusalem at that time and today. Wow. Can you imagine? That's what Jesus is saying. And which cities is he talking about? He's talking about, if you go further, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, verse 15. Now, if you know Capernaum, Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 32, the whole town came to Jesus and he healed every disease. The power of God was manifested so powerfully there. You remember that the story of the person who, the paralytic, who the friends took, they opened the roof, lowered the guy. That happened in Capernaum. You remember the centurion? Yeah, he said, please don't come to my house. You just say the word, my son will be healed. That happened in Capernaum. And Jesus is saying that these cities that have seen the power of God will be judged even more strongly than Sodom, which was full of homosexuality and every kind of perversion. They will receive more mercy because these guys saw the miracles and still didn't believe in Jesus. You know? So we see that. And finally, the last thing we look at is urgency. You know, when I first came to the Lord, there was such an urgency to share the gospel with other people. You know, I would meet friends, meet people on the bus, meet people everywhere, and we would say, oh, you know, we were so concerned about their eternal destiny. But 30 years down the line, whatever, 40 years down the line, 35 years down the line, taking it easy, you know. And really, we've got to capture the sense of urgency that Jesus is saying. Those 30 people who were going for that picnic yesterday never thought they would die. They were going for fun. But suddenly, the end came. Friends, two things. We don't know when our friends, our neighbors, or colleagues will leave this earth. And we don't know when we will leave this earth. Okay? So, as Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. If there is anybody here who has not yet put their trust in Jesus this morning, I want to urge you. I want to persuade you this morning. Will you turn to Jesus? Remember, it's peace or punishment. I'm not saying it. Jesus is saying it. You know, but there's an opportunity to receive the peace of God. Receive it. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. For those of us who have received the peace of God, we have now a responsibility. We are carrying the gospel in our hand. One day, we will have to give an account to the Lord of how we've lived. Okay? We can't dabble in this and that, get up late, watch movies, enjoy drinks, and just forget about the kingdom. Okay? Jesus has given us all things for us to enjoy. We enjoy things, but the focus has to be the kingdom. And I want to urge you this morning, okay? If that needs a shaking up, shake up. Because really, he's coming. And he's going to ask us, where are your disciples? He's going to ask us, have we shared the gospel? You know? I want to, and there's an opportunity for you now. Invite your friends to come next Sunday. That's a starting point, okay? It's not the only thing to do, but that's a starting point. And I want to end with verse 16. He says, the one who hears you hears me. You know, when we are giving this call for salvation, we are representing Jesus. Wow. And he says, the one who rejects you rejects me. Don't take it personally when people reject you. Okay? They're not, you know, you're the courier person. They are rejecting the real person who's the Jesus who sent the message. And he said, the one who rejects me rejects the Father in heaven. Wow. You have something important you're carrying with you. You are the only link between your unbelieving neighbor and friend and Jesus. Okay, so let's start praying. Let's start going. Let's realize we have a mission, and let's realize it's urgent. It's urgent to fulfill this. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for choosing us unto salvation, Lord. Lord, we thank you for enabling us and including us in partnership in this great commission of yours, Lord. We are honored. Lord, I pray this morning that we would take hold of this with a sense of urgency. We would gossip the gospel and look for people to invite and to share the gospel with, Lord. Would you do that, Lord? Would you make that the passion and the urgent need of our lives? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.